This episode brought to you by Correlation and BankJoy. On the show today, we have Workers Credit Union's very own Peter Rice talking about the credit union's really cool outreach program to Massachusetts employers. They're providing free access to financial wellness coaching as a benefit. A really, really great way to reach out to your communities and really get involved and actually empower a lot of folks to better manage their money. And this is what they're doing there at Workers Credit Union. And Peter tells us all about it. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Workers Credit Union's very own Peter Rice. Peter, how are you today?
Michael, fantastic and great to meet you at last. I've been a fan for a long time.
Thank you.
And I'm a little bit starstruck.
No, don't be starstruck.
I'm absolutely delighted to be here.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you being a fan and watching all the episodes and stuff. So we appreciate that and spreading the word. But we're happy that you are here too, because you have some good news to deliver as well. I love stories like this where credit unions kind of go above and beyond the call of duty and to help out their communities. And what you guys are doing there at Workers Credit Union is that you're offering Massachusetts employers free access to financial wellness coaching as a benefit. That is pretty darn cool. So can you tell us a little bit more about this?
Yeah, I'd love to. And for many, I'm going to state the obvious. And that's the power, perhaps, in this whole approach or philosophy. And it's really back to the future. It's back to kind of credit union grassroots and the needs that we serve and why we were birthed as an industry. So in 2007, the American Psychological Association released their first survey on stress in America. The number one cause of stress in America every year since up until the pandemic has been money. 70% of respondents say that money causes the most stress in the United States. And that was our first kind of clarion call to action, to say, as a purpose-driven organization who wants to improve the daily lives of our members, surely tackling this level of stress would be a great way to improve people's daily lives and people helping people, right? So a common philosophy within our industry. Juxtapose that to, I firmly believe the service economy is dead, Michael. And I know that may sound controversial to a lot of people, but the reality of it is that you cannot compete on service alone. And you cannot compete on rate. We have to compete on value and a value proposition. And a value proposition has to be something that inspires people, because this is America. If it's not inspirational, it's not worth our capital, our effort, our sweat, and our blood, because we're all about improvement. Yeah. So for us, it was really a journey back to the founders. And it came at just the right time to answer some of these broader societal questions we're asking in the country right now, such as what is the path forward? How do we harness diversity and inclusion? What is equity? And we can solve for so much of that through financial wellness, because that's a relative thing.
Yeah.
So that survey was one of the kind of genesis of why we went back to the future. And then you couple that with some recent surveys around 60% of Americans don't have $1,000 for an emergency. Mm-hmm. 50% of Americans have not saved a dollar for retirement, irrespective of generation or income. 25% of millennials have little basic financial knowledge. And again, you know, we're looking around and we're figuring as an industry, how are we going to compete against the big banks? There it is. There's value right there.
Mm-hmm.
We know as a society that the more coaching we get, the more advice and mentorship we get, we grow.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you apply that to financial services?
Good question.
It's stating the obvious.
Right.
But we really don't know where to start, because we've become so transactionally focused. And I think one of the greatest examples I can give you is you know, going back into the deep past and a little bit of Latin, right? So the word bank comes from transaction over table. The table was called bank. But the word credit is the Latin for credo, and that means I believe. And so I take it that's our trigger event. It says that we believe in people.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference. If you want to go to a bank and transact, then that's good for you. But if you want more value from a relationship, you come to a credit union that believes in you and believes in your future.
Right.
So I see credit as this amazingly transformative tool for societies, because when you extend credit, you're believing in a better tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's very few things as positive a statement as that, the extension of credit. And we know that when people can't get access to credit, that this sparks some terrible esteem issues But it also it puts them in the bad place to live the American life or the American dream, if that makes sense to all. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think that's the genesis, and it's back to the future, right? And it's stating the obvious. But when you take that philosophical approach and you say to yourself, what would it take to have a member for life, to go on that journey with a member? So if we were a boat and we're on an ocean and a storm hits, what do we do to make sure that that member's journey continues? And what greater storm has hit us than, you know, A, the Great Recession, and now COVID and the Great Resignation?
Yeah.
So in August alone, 4.3 million people resigned from the workforce. That's 3% of the American workforce. And when you think about it, the cost to replace a position is 33% of their annual salary.
Yeah, yeah.
The Bankrate survey just pointed out that 55% of Americans are considering a new job next year. So multiply that by the 30%, 33% of cost to replace them. And that's an exponential cost and burden on our business community, who are so essential to recovering from this pandemic. Mm-hmm. You're just not going to, it's going to be two steps back before we can take a step forward. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners are seeing this in their daily lives. Mm-hmm. You know, where are we finding employees, both within the credit union world, regulators? I just watched your last podcast with David from University Credit Union. Oh, yeah. He brought up that exact point through a merger. And so we said to ourselves, you know, our mission, our purpose is all about battling the shame and stigma associated with financial wellness, because we don't talk about it as much as we do other things. We'll sit down and we'll exchange football stats in a heartbeat, but we won't sit and talk to each other about how to get better in managing our money. It's just not even talked about.
Exactly. Yeah, it's kind of taboo.
It's very taboo. It's one of the last kind of taboo things we have as society. Right. There are many other important issues on the table, but this one isn't. But it actually links so many other issues to personal advancement and to giving access to minority communities to the power of the American dream. So it's maybe the last and maybe one of the most important. And I'm not ranking the importance of issues, but I do think it's one that we can raise the common lot with.
It's up there for sure.
So you look at that and you say, well, why would employers be interested in this? And I think society-wise, the same American Psychological Survey, physical well-being is the fourth highest cause of stress at about 25%, consistently for 20 plus years. And so in 2007, when this survey came out, there were about 18,000 gyms in America in 2007. You want to guess how many gyms there are today? Off the top of your head?
50,000? I don't know.
You're close, about 40,000, 45,000.
Oh my gosh, really? Oh wow.
Gyms have doubled for the fourth highest cause of stress. But what has anybody done? What if you're a pure capitalist and you believe that the market addresses opportunity, who's addressing this issue of financial wellness? The answer is practically no one.
Yeah, you're right.
But we have this phenomenal movement. Credit unions were built exactly for this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think as an industry, we're well placed to do it. So looking at the cost to not only rehire people and find talent, many companies have said to themselves, how do we add value and work-life balance to people? So they've done gym membership is a popular one. We've looked after physical health. Companies have done great work in looking after the mental health, providing EAP services, counseling, medical insurance. Health insurance is a huge benefit, and it wasn't always a guaranteed in the last few years, as we know. But again, companies aren't providing financial benefits. A recent BrightPlan survey of 1,500 workers indicated that financial wellness costs the U.S. economy $4.7 billion a week.
I believe it.
And lost productivity.
Yeah.
MetLife recently done an employee trends, and they do benefits specifically. And people who responded to that, people who responded to being or feeling financially well, were 85% more productive in the workplace.
Yeah.
So imagine when you don't have too many issues around or worrying about money and your money management, you're more productive.
Exactly.
In your work life.
Yeah.
Again, stating the obvious, but it's very powerful and it's very transformative. Now, so what is financial coaching? It is not about spreadsheets. And that's the very first important thing to say to listeners. This is not about balancing your checkbook. It's about people's psychological relationship with money, how they spend it, and where they seek value. So oftentimes we end up spending a lot of money in negative feedback loops. They become bad habits. And before you know it, these small bad habits are taking away from your ultimate dream or drive. Mm-hmm. So you may say, I'd really like to buy a house, but I don't earn enough money. And that may well be true because a house is a bit of a stretch, particularly yep. what we've seen house prices drive.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also a very hard stretch if you're going to Dunkin' Donuts 4 and 5 times a day and you don't even realize the compounded effect of
that. Oh my gosh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? So mm-hmm. what we found is in reviewing people's value, what do they want from their life? We're able to connect them to coaching plans that address their immediate issues or their immediate concerns, but also, very importantly, helps them achieve their dream and make their very best financial decisions. So this is about empowerment. This is about coaching and mentorship. And I'm going to use Tom Brady, an old New England great. He's doing phenomenal work for Florida. But doesn't it blow you away to think that, I may cause controversy here, but the GOAT, the greatest of all time, has an army of coaches?
He does.
Right.
He wouldn't be where he is without them, for sure.
Right. And in our society, we have coaches for everything else, or we seek, you know, you go to a bookstore, you go to Barnes and Noble, it's all about self-improvement.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to a bookstore in Europe, you won't see that amount of business books, you know, 7 healthy steps, 7 habits of this, mm-hmm. how good to great. You won't see any of that, but you see very rarely do you see books or real material on coaching for financial wellness. And it's such a critical skill to have as you navigate your entire life.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm still surprised at this day that it's not some sort of required curriculum in schools growing up. I mean, that's a whole nother show, but that still astounds me because the most I learned when I went through school, and this was, you know, hundreds of years ago, but it was like, hey, this is how you balance your checkbook. But, you know, who writes a check anymore? So, but that was the extent of it. And, you know, and then I tried to learn the best I could through my parents and then in my professional life and then talking to people like you, that's where I've gotten my financial acumen, if you will. And we're still lacking a lot in that area, but we're learning every day. And so I'm making sure that I learn stuff every day, but it just blows me away that it's not something that's vastly required in our schools. So, but you guys are taking up the slack and providing this service to employers throughout Massachusetts. So how does that work?
Yeah. So we started with individuals and then we realized through the Great Resignation, wait a second, our business members, surely we can help add value to our business members and help support them through this time where employees are making considered decisions about their future.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, has it taken off. It's
going to
be successful. So one of the things I'll tell you, and again, I'm stating the obvious, having run programs for 2 years on financial wellness, the data that we have around it, the statistics around it are stunning.
Mm-hmm.
So with every coaching session you do, a member's financial wellness improves. And financial wellness is for us is measured by average balances, for example, and credit score. So by the time you get to 4 visits, the relationships are twice as deep as members who don't go through the process. So we have very clear empirical evidence that this works. Plus, our members are telling us this.
Oh, I bet they are, yeah.
So we designed a new concept called Planet Centers, which move away from traditional retail designs completely. There are no telelines. It's built on engagement and empowerment, utilizing data so that members can come in and experiment with their dreams and their future, and that they can learn in a safe environment with no shame and stigma. And members who use this service increase their credit scores by at least 25 points after 2 visits.
Wow.
So we're seeing really strong data, and the NPS scores from these locations are actually 100%. Our legacy is 87, and that's pretty high. And we were figuring, how can we get it? How can you improve 87? And that's a really tough thing to do. But you always look for the, you know, as credit unions, we always want the perfect interaction, right? There's nothing less than 100 is ever going to do for us. We know we may fail, but we should never stop our pursuit of excellence.
So how do you conduct these? Do you go out to employers or do people come to you or is it an online thing?
Yeah, so it's both. It's both. Oh, it is. And oh, wow. I know what some of the listeners are thinking. We used to do that. It's bank at work. No, it's not. It's not about going and offering your products and services. Not at all. It's about financial coaching.
Good for you.
So when we show up, we do a lot of legwork right beforehand, a lot of destigmatizing. Because if you think it, you're at your company benefits event and you're wondering what is financial wellness.
Mm-hmm.
So we do our very best to work with the employer beforehand to set the stage for it. And so when we do go to a company benefits event, and sometimes employees come to us separately, they hear about it and they book an appointment separately. But when we go to the employees' benefits session, which is usually once a year, right, and several vendors come along, we're there. We've got a full team. We've got someone from mortgage, someone from our wealth management team, somebody from our investment team.
Yeah.
Because the average American worker changes jobs 6 times. And they never roll over their 401ks correctly, which means the average American is somewhere between 4 to 6 different 401k plans.
Good.
Falling out there. And from a company benefit perspective, we sit with our members and we ask them, what is your enrollment in your company 401k plan? Because that's a major retention tool for companies. And they're often shocked and they say, well, we've never actually thought about it.
Oh, no.
So then we review all that information with them to make sure that we're offering their plan. And then hopefully they switch the plan over to Workers Federal Credit Union.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So again, it's about trust, mentorship, coaching. Product is never mentioned. We do a survey with our members, business and individual membership about their relationship with money.
Mm-hmm.
We share stories. I'm very well aware of the transformative power of stories. Members don't care what your ROA is. They don't care what your asset size is. They just want to know what it is that you do and yep. Can you help them?
And can you help? That was the next thing.
Can you help? But I'm going to take that one step further. And in the value economy, and that's what I'm going to call this age, is the value economy. How can you help empower me? How can you help empower me? So not just help. I don't think, as Americans, we appreciate that we need help and people need help at a point in time in their life. But a quintessential American character is the willingness to get up and do it yourself for mm-hmm. yourself. For your community. The individual is very strong and it should be here. And that's what this is about. So again, when people hear financial wellness, they think of folks at the very bottom of the pyramid, perhaps the folks who are really struggling. But we've managed to build out a process and build a community where it's a relative term. It's a relative term. Some of the statistics I've given you is irrespective of income, by the way, particularly around saving for an emergency. That's irrespective
mm-hmm. of income, mm-hmm.
which is startling.
Completely, completely. So how does a company, do they inquire this coaching yep. or do you go out and say, hey, we're here to provide this service to you guys. Are you interested?
Yep.
Or how does that, or is it both? Yep. I'm assuming. So
it comes to us through, the best marketing is word of mouth. The sure. very best marketing, sure. You're living your values when you're getting people coming in and saying, I heard about you. I know you can do this. So don't get me wrong, I'm tickled pink when I hear somebody saw an advert, but when a company calls and says, listen, my buddy over at, Rochdale O'Toole's and Fitchburg said, you guys done their benefit day and it was just awesome.
Wow.
I'd love to learn a little bit more about that. The most recent one I got is I was sitting on a chamber luncheon. Somebody said, you're from Workers? I said, I'm from Workers. Hey, I heard about this financial wellness.
No way. Oh my gosh.
So we're anti-sales here. What I'm saying is a sales culture is not going to push you forward in the value economy.
No, you want to teach and educate. Yeah. Yeah.
Value a partner who you can trust and understands.
Yeah.
So empathy, empathy is very key to this mission. And again, it's very key in breaking down shame and stigma because mm-hmm. people are embarrassed by how they spend their money.
Yeah. But on the flip side, when you use the word empower and you give a person that power to manage their money, that gives them mm-hmm. so much confidence. And like you said, they're, a gazillion times more productive and just yes. A better human being, all that good stuff. There's so much upside to that when somebody has that power to manage their money properly and then watch it grow and they have that future ahead of them. So, I mean, it gives me goosebumps to think about that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And you guys are right there providing it for them.
Well, we want members for life. I mean, we've gone too transactional. Everything is about one hit. How do we focus in on profit? Well, that's a good point because we do need to make money, but focus on value.
And the all value that stuff comes later. You know.
Yeah. Focus on value.
Exactly.
On your core purpose, and you will succeed. You'll find ways, and it unlocks innovation. In our New Planet Centers, we were able to find ways to use technology to scale this. So one of the hardest things to scale is empathy, right? How do you scale caring? It can seem very, very, very tough. But what you have to realize is people need different forms of interaction at different points in their life. So there are times where they need human-to-human empathy.
Mm-hmm.
There are times where they're informational and searching for data to make the right decision. And maybe because you've already coached them, or maybe they've already got that background.
Yeah.
So it's important when you're talking about financial wellness and you're looking at channel distribution to consider how are you going to offer it and scale it across channel.
Mm-hmm.
So I've just given you two quick examples, the in-person coaching and Workers' Way at Work. But we also have it digitally. So we have an award-winning app for financial education where members can come in and engage and begin that journey. And some of it is heart-stopping, Michael, to be honest with you. When members sit and do the survey on their relationship with money, 65 to 75% of them indicate they're extremely stressed after the survey. And it's not an attempt to be scared the bejeepers out of people, but it's an attempt to ask questions that they may never have considered.
Mm-hmm.
And my own personal journey comes into this a lot, and so do fellow employees, because if you're going to be empathy and change lives, you have to tell stories and you have to tell your own.
Mm-hmm.
I often tell people a number of years ago, not long after my firstborn was born, we lost my wife to cancer.
Oh no! And, I'm sorry.
I'm doing well. I'm an educated guy, and I've got lots going on. The first thing we had to do was rewrite a will, and make sure we upped our insurance. Very important life decisions. And again, it's important to share these stories. And we have several employees who went through the Workers' Way financial wellness. And again, it's about psychology, the things that happen in your life, and the effect it has on money. And you're planning for future events.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about spreadsheets. So where are we for members during that time? How do we empathize? Who has the training to deal with that situation so that you can fully cover all the bases? And so much of this was born from my own experiences and from my staff and members' experiences of organizations not having the right approach when people hit these milestones.
Mm-hmm.
Divorce, marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Birth of a child, retirement. There's so many issues where we offer a product, but not the right coaching to guide members through it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's had such a material impact on our credit union the last 2 years, particularly in our growth numbers or NPS numbers in any way you want to measure it. So by doing good, we're doing great.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Last question for you, because we got to break. Unfortunately, we're short on time. Oh, bummer. I could go on for this for another half hour easily. But advice to other credit unions looking to do something similar, because I could see this. There's a lot of credit unions out there doing things like this, but you guys are super successful at it already. So any advice for other credit unions looking to do something similar real quick?
Find your purpose and follow it.
Okay.
Your purpose is your North Star. It's your first decision point. If something doesn't match your purpose, don't do it.
Yeah.
But get up with a big heart every morning and follow that purpose with great heart and positivity. And you'll find your way. And maybe it's financial wellness and maybe it's a different offering.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's key, not only to our survival, but us thriving as an organization.
Yeah, that'll drive you for sure. Indeed.
Absolutely.
Indeed. All right, Peter. Well, gosh, maybe we can do like a part two on this or something, because I think there's a lot more to be said for this stuff. So congrats on the success of this program, and great to virtually meet you. Hopefully one day in person.
You too. You too.
And keep up the good work there at Workers. You guys are really kind of setting the template for a lot of other folks out there looking to do something similar. So well done, and keep up good work, okay?
Michael and listeners, pleasure.
Well done, sir. Take care.